Today, we're in the middle of a series of messages called Overwhelmed. And the reason why we thought a series like this was so important is because it's the number one issue, the number one problem that Americans face in their day-to-day lives. Y'all, would agree with me on this, but we're overstressed, we're overworked, we're overmedicated, and we're flat out overwhelmed. And that's why this series is so important for us. Now, today is week three, if you're just jumping in to the middle of the series. Week one, the first part of this series, was really a foundational message for us, really setting that firm foundation. And here's what we discovered. We discovered that every single one of us, or a lot of us at least, we have baggage in our lives. We have things that we have not addressed that we need to allow God to address. That was week one. Week two, last week, we discovered, what in the world do we do when anxiety attacks? Like, what do we do when our life is falling apart? And week three today will probably be the most practical message of this entire series. What does that mean, Pastor Ryan? It means this, that what we're going to talk about today, you're going to have a lot of it that you could apply to your life. That the Sunday could change the Monday if you let it. That this could really affect in a good way, a positive way, your week and your months, and then, of course, your entire life. And so I'm calling this message, and if I was a note taker, I'd write this down. But the title of my message today is Rest Stop. Y'all remember those? Rest Stop, the things that used to be amazing, but now we bypass because the bathrooms are disgusting. You know what I'm talking about? Rest Stop. And that's going to be the direction we're heading into today, Rest Stop. If you got a copy of God's Word with you, I'm going to ask you to do something that's a little bit challenging, especially if you're using a Bible app, because I'm going to ask you to turn to two different places at one time. If you've got, of course, ink on paper, you'll be good to go. But I want you to turn to the second book of the Old Testament and also the second book of the New Testament. So I'm talking about Exodus chapter 20. Is where I want you to turn, and then I want you to mark that, and pun intended, we'll go to Mark chapter 2. So Exodus chapter 20, we're going to read verses 8 through 11, and then we're also going to read Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. I'll be reading out the NIV, but whatever you have will work wonders. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, and Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. And if you don't have a Bible with you, if you're listening live in person, we'll have a giant Bible on the screen here in just a second. Exodus 20 and Mark chapter 2. We'll start in Exodus. Here's what God's Word says to us. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, your male or female servant, your butler, I mean everybody, y'all, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. Everybody, you're to take that day off. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that's in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. Let's turn now to Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 23, again out of the NIV. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. They were hungry. The Pharisees, or the religious leaders of the day, they said to Jesus, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" And he answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and he ate the consecrated bread," other translations say showbread, "which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Verse 27, very important. "Then Jesus said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" Let's pray. God, I pray for this great church. I pray for those that are brand new and those that have been here for years. I pray for all of them. God, I'm so thankful that they're tuned in today. And even not just the people in this room, but those that are listening later on online, we thank you for them and what you're doing in our city and in our nation and in the world. And we just pray right now for every single person underneath the sound of my voice. I pray, God, that you would use me to speak truth and life from your word. I pray that you'd speak because of me, but also in spite of me. Holy Spirit, that you would speak a word so personal that we can't help but receive it and allow it to change our lives. The message I'm bringing today, yes, it's practical, but it's also filled with power. Because if we'll take the truth from your word, the Old and New Testament, and apply it to our lives, it will set many of us free. And even more than that, it will take us back to the rightful place that you've destined us to be. A place of peace, a place of purpose, a place that is not overwhelmed. May that happen in every life as they're open to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We like to take notes around here. So if you're taking notes, you should jot this down. I've got 3 points today, just to give you a heads up of where we're going. The third point we'll spend a while on. So when I get through the first two fast, you're going to think, he's about to close. I'm not. I'm going to spend a lot of time on the third one. But the first two are very important. And so we're going to start with number one, the first point from God's word. If you're a note taker, you're a history maker, and you're going to write this down. The Sabbath honors God. Start there. The Sabbath honors God. We see this in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 10. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Now, I want to give you some context this morning. I do this every single week because I want to make sure that brand new people to Christianity and those that have been around Christianity and church for a while, that all of us are on the same page, okay? So let me give you some context here that's very important. We picked up in Exodus chapter 20, right in the middle of the Ten Commandments. So if you had an app on your phone, maybe it highlighted that, or maybe you have the headings there in your Bible, old school, ink on paper, y'all, the good stuff. And right there, you could see more than likely that we jumped right into the middle. I believe it's number 4, but right there in the middle, at least, to the Ten Commandments. We're talking about stone tablets written on by God, pretty amazing, given to Moses, and Moses brought them down from the top of the mountain to God's people. That's what's going on here in Exodus chapter 20. It's also important that we understand what that word Sabbath means, because it's one of those words that we hear fairly often, but a lot of times we don't know what in the world it actually means. And so the Sabbath, I'd write this down if I'm taking notes, it refers to the seventh day on the Jewish calendar. The seventh day on the Jewish calendar. And if you look at the actual literal definition in the original language, which was not English, if you look at that definition, it also means this: to rest. Write that down. Literally, to rest. And the second definition is to seek or cease your work. So to rest and to stop. You know, that'd be a great title of a message. Somebody should use that one day. But to rest and to stop. That's what the Sabbath literally means. Now, we don't have time to turn there, but we see in the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, starting in chapter 1 all the way through the beginning of chapter 2, that God modeled this kind of life for us. Like, he modeled it. He spent 6 days speaking and creating, and then on the seventh day, he rested. So I want to ask you a question. This is not rhetorical. You can respond if you'd like to respond. But let me ask you, do you think God was tired? He wasn't tired, but he yet modeled this kind of life for us. And not just that, but he clearly lays it out as one of the Ten Commandments for us to follow. And by the way, just a little side note, little side text, food for thought. God spent more time and more words on this commandment than any of the others. Just something to think about. Something to think about. But he spent more time and more words on this commandment. We are to have a Sabbath before God. Now, I know what some are thinking here in this room and those listening online, because we've got seasoned Christians, very, very intelligent when it comes to the word and have been around the teaching of God's word for a while. And I know what some of you are thinking, more than likely. You're thinking this: well, Pastor Ryan, that's great that we're talking about all this Old Testament law kind of stuff, but we're under the new covenant. Like, we're under the new covenant, Pastor Ryan. And so, yeah, that's a good suggestion by God. But we live in the 21st century, and Jesus came, and he died on the cross. He rose from the dead. And all of that is 100% accurate and true. But if you have that kind of opinion or thought, let's take that thought a little bit further logically. So if you're thinking to yourself today, well, yeah, that's Old Testament. We're not under that anymore. We're new covenant. Come on, new wine, Pastor Ryan. We're new. If you're thinking that, we've got to take it a step further, logically. Because if we should not follow this commandment, then logically we shouldn't follow any of the others. Let's just take this logically, if you're thinking that, for a moment. If I shouldn't follow this one, this is Old Testament law, not applied to today, then we shouldn't do any of the Ten Commandments. Here's what you're telling me. Here's what you're saying. You're saying, Pastor Ryan, you should go ahead and cheat on your wife. That's what you're saying. Oh, no, we don't follow the Sabbath. I mean, that's old school, Pastor. The new covenant. You know what else you're telling me? You're telling me that I should murder people and steal their stuff. Because if one of them shouldn't be followed, then logically the thread leads us to none of them should be followed. And last time I checked, murder, stealing, adultery, it's all in there. Some of the Ten Commandments. And so be careful of going down that road of saying, well, that's Old Testament. We don't need that anymore. Be careful going down that road, because I believe this, and I think this is the truth, that these are still principles we're to follow today. In fact, I believe the word backs me up. We don't have time to turn there. But in Matthew, we see clearly, it's Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. You can write down that reference if you want to look it up later, and I encourage you to do that. But it tells us that Jesus came to fulfill the law, not abolish it. To fulfill the law, not abolish it. So be careful with this idea. Well, that's Old Testament. That's not for me anymore. I believe maybe, just maybe, these are principles we should still follow today. And here's what's so telling to me, and I'm going to hurt some feelings today. I do it every week, so let's just keep on rolling, baby. But I'm going to step on some toes today, because here's what this is telling me here. If you look at our culture, and I'm not talking about outside the church, I'm talking about inside the church. Let's pick on us. Let's stop pointing fingers at people outside. We got enough issues, okay? We need to clean up ourselves. So here's what I see when I look inside the church culture. I see people that love the Lord, but forsake this commandment. I see so many people that honestly, they're encouraged by other Christians to break this commandment. I'll take it even a step further. I know so many, and I've honestly been there myself, that they wear this as a badge of honor. Man, I'm just so busy, Pastor Ryan. It must be important, is what you're saying. Just so busy. I mean, my kids got activity. I mean, my dog, there's just so much I got to do to take care of him. I mean, my life, my job, my hobbies. I mean, I'm just so busy, Pastor Ryan. We wear it as a badge of honor, but can I tell you today, it does not honor God. It doesn't. The person trying to get honor in that equation is you, because we think I told you I was going to step on your toes, so don't be mad. I gave you a warning. Shouldn't have worn flip-flops. I'm just saying. But like, here's what we do. We overfill our calendars because it makes us feel better about ourselves. Because if we're by ourselves or we've got downtime, it's almost like we just cussed. I mean, it's just we got to fill it up. Y'all know this has gotten so bad that we even take our phones with us to the restroom. Y'all know y'all do it. Don't be looking at me like I'm crazy. Like, we can't even have a couple minutes. Well, for some of you longer, but I can't talk about that. This is the church. Anyway, sorry. Forgive me, Lord. But like, we got problems. Have y'all been to a restaurant recently? And this isn't just like a millennial like problem. I've seen 70-plus-year-olds crossing the table and looking at each other. They're looking at that cell phone. This is an everybody problem. We just constantly have to have all of this stimulation. I got to tell you, we got to get back to what God has commanded us to do. And it's to take a Sabbath. It's to honor him. We got to honor God. It's so important. It's something we've got to get deep down in our soul. And maybe you're wondering today, like, how does a Sabbath honor God? Like, how does that work? I can tell you how. A Sabbath honors God because it shows God that you trust him. It shows God that I believe this, God. Like, I'm showing it with my life. I don't care about lip service, okay? I don't care if you've memorized the Bible. Are you living out the Bible, okay? Like, it's more than lip service. It's like, hey, I'm gonna live a life, God, that says I can work 6 days and be more fruitful with taking that one day off than working 7 days on my own. That's what the Sabbath does. It honors God. And shouldn't that be what's most important to us as Christ followers? If you're not a Christ follower in the room, you're exempt from that right now. But I want you to know that as Christ followers, talking to myself too, number one, we should want to honor God with our lives. And when we honor him, we're more fruitful than we could ever be by ourselves. Think about Chick-fil-A. Now, it's dangerous to talk about food during a message, but they closed anyways, okay? So I'm going to talk about Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A, how many times, I just got to be honest, how many times have I driven there on a Sunday afternoon and a Sunday night and I forgot that they were closed? Has anybody done that before? Is it just me? Okay, a few of us. We got problems, okay? We just forget. Like, so many times I've been on the way there and I forget that they're closed. Sometimes I even pull into the drive-thru. I'm like, this is weird. There's nobody here. It's usually way out there. What's going on? And then I realize that they're closed. But think about Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A, they believe this principle. They do. They do. Now, I'm not like a sponsor. Like, Chick-fil-A is not a sponsor for our church. I don't have a patch here. I have to like say that now in the world that we live in. Like, I'm not getting paid to say this, okay? And I don't agree with everything they do, okay? Just get that out of the way. But I love that right now, they respect and honor this principle. They take off Sundays. They give their employees off Sundays. Now, all the other fast food places, okay, all the other ones, a lot of them are open 24/7. Not just 7 days a week, but like all the hours throughout the day. And here's what I think is fascinating. According to a QSR 50 rankings, the average Chick-fil-A is in first place in this category and many others. But the average Chick-fil-A takes in $4.4 million annually per location. That's taking one day off a week, every single week, $4.4 million. They're in first place. You know, the second the closest competitor, it's Whataburger, and they take in $2.7 million. So almost double, like getting close to getting in that range. God honors us when we honor him. Now, we don't honor him to get stuff. Of course, we don't do that, but it's proven. We will be more fruitful when we trust God and honor him. The Sabbath honors God and puts our trust in him to provide when we work less. Number two, the second point. You can jot this down. I think it'd be helpful for you. The Sabbath is rest, not restriction. It's rest, not restriction. I'm not going to reread these verses just for time's sake, but we get this from Mark chapter 2, verse 23 through verse 26. And we see a glimpse of what I'm talking about here and amongst other places in the Bible. But here's what was happening back then. What was happening is that the religious leaders of the day, they had taken God's commandments and God's laws and they had put legalism all over it. They had taken what God had asked them to do and not do, and they had turned it in a to-do list and a to-do-not list. They've turned it into this system, this religion, that it's all about doing more good than more bad, and then God will be happy with me. And so the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they come to Jesus and they are not happy that him and his followers are picking grain on the Sabbath. To the Pharisees, this ticked them off because they took the religious law to the letter. I mean, it was everything to them. It was a restriction instead of rest. And you can read this in the next section of scripture in Mark, but the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they actually jump on Jesus' case again when he healed somebody on the Sabbath. Like, think about that. A religious leader would be somebody like a pastor back then, or even more than that, just the respect, the notoriety, the power. And can you imagine having the kind of heart where you'd be mad that somebody got healed because it was on the wrong day? But if we're not careful, we can fall into that category where we become religious and legalistic, where it's a restriction and not rest. I even remember one of my professors at Bible college. This is true. But he told a story, and this was in his past. But he took the Sabbath so literally so legalistically like the Pharisees that on his Sabbath, he would lock himself in a closet, y'all. Like lock himself in a closet, lights off. He would literally try to think about nothing. He would really just breathe. That was it. Just sit down, just breathe in a closet for a day every single week. Like he took this literally. Like it was a restriction. And that was the only way that God was going to be happy. And he talked about this in our Bible college. And this was years later after he had went through that. And he talked about it that, hey, I missed it, guys. He said, I look back on that. And that was not God honoring. That was trying to honor myself and how well I followed it. So he talked about how it was a restriction, but God had called it to be rest. And so we can't afford to jump into that side of things where we turn it into a religious exercise. It must not be a restriction, it must be rest. And so what do you do practically? I told you we're going to be practical today. What do you do practically on a Sabbath? If I'm going to have a Sabbath, what does that look like? How do I make sure that it's honoring God, that's bringing rest? Like, how do I do this? I'll explain it to you. A Sabbath is a time to honor and acknowledge God. That's what a Sabbath is. It's a time where you rest and worship Jesus. And let me remind us today that worship is way more than a few songs sung on a platform. Let me let you know, because if you think that, you don't know the biblical definition of worship. Worship is not a few hymnals on a Sunday morning. Worship is so much more than that. Anything that honors God and praises God is worship. So think about it in a different way. Worship can be prayer, reading the word, obedience to God, giving enjoyment, building deep godly relationships with others, serving others, thankfulness. Did you even know that your life and breath honors God? Because he created you. So even you being alive worships our creator. And so a Sabbath is rest. It's recharging your batteries and announcing to everyone with your life more than your words that you're trusting God, that he's your everything. You need to rest. You don't need restriction. The third and last point, I told you I'm gonna spend some time on this one. But the third and last point is this: the Sabbath is for our benefit. It's for our benefit. Where'd you get that from, Pastor Ryan? Right there from the text. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. What did Jesus say? It's red letters on some of y'all's Bibles. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying that God has given us a gift as Christ followers. He's given us a gift. And too many Christians have never opened up that gift. Like God is literally, it's on the table for you today. He has slid across the table a gift called the Sabbath. It's rest. It's ceasing from your labor and spending time with God, honoring God with your life. It's a gift slid across to you, but you have to open it. God won't make you do it. It's a free gift. It's for our benefit. It's right from Jesus to us. Now, I do this from time to time. We're about to get real practical here. But I do this from time to time where I give you a book recommendation for those of us that like to read, like myself. I want to give you one that speaks about this idea of creating margin and the Sabbath. I highly recommend this. It's called The Overload Syndrome. It's by Richard Swenson. So if you're a book reader like myself, I would jot that down. It'd be worth the read. The Overload Syndrome by Richard Swenson. Now, this book takes a biblical and practical view of this idea of creating margin. And many of us have zero margin in our lives. So you need to get this book. You need to get it into your heart. Now, I'll give you a little disclaimer. This book was written in the 90s, so there are references to beepers, okay, back then. There are stats that are outdated, but if you can push it beside all of that, it's some really solid gold there, a great book that I'd highly recommend. But here's the truth. We've got to create margin in our lives emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually, and, of course, with our time. We're going to talk about those today. And here's what margin is, and you'll see this on the screen if you're in the room. Margin is the space between our load and our limits. I would write that down. You need to know this. You got to get this. It's the space between our load and our limits. It's the space between our vitality and our exhaustion. Have you ever met someone who's burnt out on life? They didn't have any margin. Did you ever meet a pastor that quit the ministry? Not because God called them somewhere else, but because they couldn't handle the load, they didn't have margin. God's called us to create margin. The Sabbath is for our benefit. So let's start with emotional health. Now, I'm going to give you so much, you won't have time to write it down. I encourage you to listen to this message later on. But we're going to ask ourselves some questions to wrap up this message. And I'm going to go fast as I can because I got a lot to cover still. But what about our emotional health? Here's some good questions to ask to gauge your emotional health. Ask yourself, am I bottling up my emotions? Am I sweeping them under the rug? Do I have a godly person or godly group of people that I can talk with? Am I scheduling fun in my life? That one always like messes with people's minds. Are you schedule fun? Yes. What about being spontaneous? Well, you can schedule the fun, but don't say what it is. Then it could be spontaneous. But like you got to schedule the fun. Can I tell you something you already know? One of the things, and we're bad at a lot of things as adults and young adults, one of the things we're really bad about is laughing. Like, we don't laugh enough. In fact, if I could tell you, like, what you look like right now, you could use a laugh. You just could. Have you ever met someone before that looks like they've been sucking on a sour lemon for their life? Not just for a day, but, like, for their life? Like you need to laugh more. Some of the research the book talks about, which I just think is fascinating, is you hit your peak age of laughter at 4 years old. Doesn't that break your heart? But it's true. I've got a 5-year-old, and I can testify, y'all, there's laughter in our house. Peak age is 4. The average 4-year-old, some will be less, some will be more, or some will be less, some will be more, but the average 4-year-old laughs about 400 times a day. And I can testify again, that's the truth. 400 times a day. You wanna know how much the average adult laughs a day? 15 times. And some of y'all, it's way less than that, I'm just saying. But 1-5, not 50, 1-15. So somehow we've missed it. We've missed it. And laughter is proven to help you with your emotional health. It's proven. It lowers your heart rate. It lowers your blood pressure. It even seems like it helps your immune system thrive. I mean, we've got to laugh some more. If you've ever come to one of our staff meetings or elder meetings, you could attest this, and some of you have slipped in on some of them before, but we laugh a lot in those meetings. Here's what I tell my staff and our elders, that yes, we take God seriously, but not ourselves seriously. Like, think about what we do for living. Like, think about what I do for living. This is everything that I do for the church. Like, think about it. The decisions I make, the life I live, will either cause people to follow Jesus or not follow Jesus. Can we agree on that? I mean, that's just the reality. Like, that's just, so think about it. My decisions, heaven and hell, are in the balance. I do not save. I'm not saying that. Jesus saves, but he's chosen to use people to spread his word. And so decisions I make, good or bad, will affect people's eternity. That's a lot of weight, y'all. Like, that's a lot of weight. And so that's already so serious, and so I've got to make time to have some fun and to laugh. I'm going to take God seriously, but not myself too seriously. Another way that you can help your emotional health is to serve. Like, did you know that? Like, to serve. Tell people all the time that when we ask you to volunteer at the church, it's not just for the church's benefit, it's for your benefit. If you don't believe me, maybe you'll listen to science. But according to Dr. Hans Selye, he's the father of stress research, one of the greatest blockades to future personal stress is to help other people. Like I said last week, I love it when science catches up and understands what God's done from the beginning. When you serve others, God blesses you. Are you emotionally healthy? I'll say one last thing, then we'll move to physical health. But one thing that we need is we need more positivity in our church. And not just this church, Christ Covenant, Big C Church. So often our churches are known more for what we're against than what we're for. And it shouldn't be that way. We should let the world know what we're for, that we love people, that God loves people, that God sent his son Jesus to this earth for people. Like we get things so crossed, and again, we're so negative. It should be an oxymoron for a Christian to be negative. It should be, but y'all know it's not the case. Like, so here's what I'm encouraging today. Be the most positive person you know. I'll say it to you this way. Do not be a spiritual vampire. Spiritual vampires suck the life out of people. Y'all know those people. If you don't know them, it's you. You're the spiritual vampire.
because we all got them. We got people in our life that they take out deposits, right? They're taking withdrawals out. We need to be around people that put deposits in our life, that they contribute to our life. So be the most positive person that you know. Physical health. Here's some good questions to ask. Told you we're going to be practical. Jesus said himself, the Sabbath is for our benefit. Here's some questions. Am I overeating? Am I always eating fast food because there's not enough time to cook? Am I scheduling time to exercise or for recreation? I'll give you a personal example here quickly, and then we'll keep moving on. But I'm not doing so great at this one right now. With having two kids and leading this church revitalization, I've got some good excuses, but honestly, they're not good enough. I got to take care of myself. You need to take care of yourself. We're good about not eating out. I've told y'all about my PB&Js. Y'all know about that if you've been to some of the services before. But the one that I'm missing right now is the exercise. I've got to do it more. I can't be in the gym for 1 hour, but I could still get in 30 minutes. So really, is there any excuse for any of us? We've got to take care of our physical health. What about financial? Here's some good questions to ask. Am I in massive debt? Like, are you using credit cards to pay off other credit cards? Am I saving part of my income, or am I spending everything that comes in? This is not just a young person problem either. A lot of people that are close to retirement are still paycheck to paycheck. Am I tithing faithfully? It's the same principle, y'all, that you can live better off of 90% and honoring God with the 10% to tithe than you could 100% on your own. I can testify of that. I'm not bragging about myself. I'm just giving you examples of where I'm missing and where I feel like I'm on the right track. But here, I feel like I'm on the right track because we've tithed and given offerings way before we were pastors, way before I knew I was going to be a pastor. So I wasn't doing it so I could say it one day from the platform. Like, just my heart to honor God with the tithe, and he will always, always, always provide. You got to have margin. Here's another question. Do you have an emergency fund? You know, I get flat tires just like you get flat tires. You know, my water heater can explode just like your can. Like we have things that we've got to have an emergency fund for. Is there margin there? If not, we need to make some changes. Time. Here's some important questions to ask. Is all my time accounted for? Like, if we were going to schedule a 1 hour meeting next week, could you find a spot? If you couldn't, what about the next week or the next week? Is your calendar overfilled? How many nights am I at home? How often am I spending quality time with my family? Do I have a consistent Sabbath? Here's what I've come to realize. Just because you're at home, just because you're with your family does not mean it's quality time. Everybody having their screen on at dinner is not quality time. Just letting you know, I'm not anti-screen. I'm not anti-TV or technology. I have all that stuff. But there's got to be some margin there. There's got to be some quality time with your family. If you got kids, set some rules. No phones at the table. No TV on at that time. Well, we got DVRs, guys. I mean, we can hit pause. We're not going to miss anything. We'll record it. We got to set some margin with our time. I'll tell it to you another way. Don't just have a to-do list. Have a to-don't list. Seriously, things you will never say yes to. Like, you know ahead of time, that way you don't feel pressure in the moment. Protect your time. I love how one doctor says this because we're too accessible. Here's what he says. I'm dying of easy accessibility. If Alexander Graham Bell walked into my office, I'd punch him in the nose. That's what he says. If he called, you can be sure I'd put that guy on hold. Like, we're too accessible. Can I tell somebody the best news that you've heard in a long time? You need to take a vacation. Yeah. If you can't afford to go anywhere, there's this amazing thing called a staycation. You should do it. You've got to have time where you rest. You got to have time where you rest. I'll give you one more personal example, and then we'll hit spiritual health and we'll pray. But this is one that I'm very intense on. Again, I'm not trying to like brag about anything or say, oh, woe is me. I'm just trying to be real with you like I am every week. But this is one thing that people do not like about me. That's how I handle my time. I'll tell it to you this way. I work on Sundays, obviously. Work on Sundays. And so that means that Fridays and Saturdays are usually my 2 days off. One of those days is doing chores, you know, mowing the lawn, getting the cars, all that kind of stuff, doing all that. And then one day is my Sabbath. Usually it's on Fridays. And people do not like that. Because here's the truth. People want their pastors easily accessible 24/7, 365. I'm not trying to whine, or I'm just letting you know how it is, okay? Don't matter if I'm on a vacation, doesn't matter if I'm spending time with my family, we're out to eat. Like, if I got a crisis, you better be here now or I'm leaving the church. That's just the mentality that people have. It's not pick on you, it's just sadly across America. And I gotta tell you today, I am finite. Like, I'm one man. Like, I'm one person. I want to be there. Ask me to come to those things. I'm not saying that you should shy away from them. But if I say I can't make it, it's because I have to have some boundaries. What good would I be to anyone if I burnt out and left the ministry? I couldn't help one person that way. And I got to tell you this, and just hear my heart. I will not sacrifice my family on the altar of ministry.
Amen.
I just won't. Now, y'all clap now, but people don't like that. They don't. But I'm not here to please people. I'm here to honor God. And I've got to model that for you in the same way that God's modeled that for us. Lastly, spiritual health. We're going to pray. And this is most important. That's why I saved it for the end. Ask yourself honestly today, is there sin in my life? Is there hurt in my life that I'm not letting God heal? God's a gentleman. He won't overcome you, push you to the side to deal with your stuff. You've got to lay it out there. Ask yourself, is there sin in my life that I won't deal with? Here's another way you could ask yourself, similar kind of question. Do I enjoy spending time with God? Do I enjoy coming to God's house? We believe this at Christ's Covenant, that church should not be endured, it should be enjoyed. For many of us growing up, it was endured. But it shouldn't be that way. So do you look forward to spending time with the Lord? Are you spiritually healthy? You could get all the other ones right, but if you don't get this one right, you'll still have a void in your life. Bow your heads with me, close your eyes. God, I pray right now. And I pray firstly, number one, I just ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak whatever you want to speak to our hearts individually. Right now where we're seated, whether it was something I covered and you just want to highlight one of those things because that's what you're trying to get across today, or even if it's something else that I didn't even say, but you're wanting to say it right now in their heart and their mind. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us? Speak. Help us to get back to a place where we honor you, where we take times to rest and to stop, that we'd honor you with our lives. And number two, with eyes closed, heads bowed, I want you to take inventory of your heart right now. Like, where are you at with your relationship with Jesus? Like, where are you at? Like, ask yourself honestly, not out loud, of course, but in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. Ask yourself, like, is there sin in my life that is separating me from God? Maybe it's decisions. Maybe it's thoughts. Maybe it's a secret addiction that you've been pretty good at hiding from other people, but God knows. Like, is there sin in your life that you need to surrender to God? That you need to ask Him, invite Him to come on in and clean you up from the inside out, to heal you, to mend what's been broken, to give you a fresh start. He wants that for you. He wants a relationship. It's not about religion. He wants a relationship with you. So eyes closed, heads bowed. Of course, if you're listening online, I can't see you, but please participate as well. If there's anyone underneath the sound of my voice that you're far from God, there's some sin, there's some separation, I'm going to give you a chance to surrender your life to Jesus. I will not embarrass you. I won't make you stand up. We won't slide you off to some room afterwards, but right where you're seated, God wants to move in your life. So if anybody listening today, you're far from God, but you want to surrender your life to Him, could you raise your hand so I could see it? Thank you so much. Thank you. Anybody else to join the others? Don't miss your moment. Yes. Yes, I see you. Put it down. Anybody else? Yes. Yes. Thank you, God. Yes, yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else would join these five others? I see you. You can put it down. Anyone else? God, you're so good. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead those that raised their hand, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Your church family is going to say this prayer out loud with you because you're not alone. We've been there. Jesus has saved us just like he's about to save you. So I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer, and a prayer is not about you saying it the right way and then God will smile. No, no, no. The prayer is about meaning it with all your heart because God knows your heart. It's a prayer that says, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. It's a prayer that says, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead and I make you my Lord and my Savior. That's all. And if you believe that and you mean that when you say it, God will come in and he will save you. You can know 100% with certainty that your eternity will be with God in heaven, and that's what he wants for you, and that's what we want for you. So those that raised their hand a moment ago and all the Christ followers as support, say this and mean this out loud. Say this, dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For speaking to me.
For speaking to me.
And I ask you now.
And I ask you now.
To forgive me.
To forgive me.
Of every sin.
Of every sin.
Of every mistake.
Of every mistake.
In Jesus.
In Jesus.
I put my faith.
I put my faith.
My trust.
My trust.
In you.
In you.
Jesus, I believe.
Jesus, I believe.
That you died on the cross.
That you died on the cross.
That you rose from the dead.
That you rose from the dead.
And I pray.
And I pray.
That you would give me.
That you would give me.
A brand new start.
A brand new start.
A fresh beginning.
A fresh beginning.
And I ask you now.
And I ask you now.
To help me.
To help me.
To live my life.
To live my life.
Dedicated to you.
Dedicated to you.
I surrender all.
I surrender all.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For your love.
For your love.
I love you too.
I love you too.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Can you get a little rowdy this morning for those that gave their life to Jesus? If you're able to, would you stand to your feet with me? I get ready to dismiss here in 20, 30 seconds. I've got here in my hand a Start Bible. We call it the Start Bible Kits. They're free in the back. There's a letter inside the ones in the back. There's a connection card in there. Please pick one up if you gave your life to Jesus today. This will help you on your next steps. And one of those next steps would be water baptism. We'd love to see you signed up for that. Also, myself and many others, we'll be up here at the front. If you need prayer for anything, we'll hang out as long as we need to pray with you and agree that God will move on your behalf. Besides that, we hope to see many of you, if not all of you, next week for part four of our series, You Are Dismissed. God bless you. Go Texans. Have a great day.